Mishnah Yudalad, Rav Nuroi Oimer, Rav Nuroi says, now, who is Rav Nuroi? There are many different opinions who Rav Nuroi was. One opinion is that it is like a nickname for Rav Meir. Another is that it's Rav Nechemia. Another is Rav Lozer ben Aruch. And some say that there was a separate Tana whose name was Rav Nuroi. If it is Rav Lozer ben Aruch, it will fit in very beautifully with a chazal that we will mention in a few minutes. But there are these four different opinions of who Rav Nuroi was. If it's Rav Lozer ben Aruch, then what Rav Nuroi says in our Mishnah fits into the life that Rav Lozer ben Aruch lived, as we'll soon see. So what did Rav Nuroi say? Havigayla l'makom Torah. A person should go into exile to a place of Torah. The simple idea over here is that if a person doesn't live in a city where there's a yeshiva or Talmidei Chachamim or friends who could teach him Torah or Talmidim to learn, he's not in an atmosphere of Torah, he should leave and go to a Makom Torah. There are others who say that even if you are, let's say a person's in Lakewood, New Jersey, which today in America is the Ir HaTorah. But if he lives in Lakewood, then perhaps for him, it's better to in order to be Kona Torah, that I believe, I didn't see it inside recently, but I believe the Tiferes Yisrael says that this is speaking even for a person who could learn Torah staying home. But he gains a tremendous amount by leaving home, going into exile. For this person living in Lakewood, for him, he would gain more in Torah if he went to another place, even though the city where he's living in has a tremendous makom Torah. But this is how a person is kona Torah, by leaving home and in exile, in Gola, he acquires the Torah. Ve'al tomar shehi tovei achrecha. Don't say that the Torah is going to follow you and come after you. Shechavercha yikaimu biyadecha, that your friends will help you establish the Torah, that you'll get the Torah through your friends. And ve'el binascha al tishoin, and also don't rely on your own wisdom. This is a pasuk in Mishlei, and Rav Nuroi is using this pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Gimel pasuk hey, to say don't rely on yourself. Now what do these various ideas tell us? So the first thing is, don't think that it's going to come after you. Al toimer shitovei achrecha. In other words, you'll say, I'll sit here in this city, which doesn't have any Torah, and I'll wait there. Eventually, a rabbi will come, a rav, a chacham will come to this city, and he'll teach me Torah. Or, I have another strategy. My friends will go to yeshiva. When they come back to the yeshiva, from the yeshiva, they will teach me. They'll teach me. No, the Meiri says that you cannot compare hearing it from someone else to you yourself being there and hearing it from the Rebbe. Don't rely on your friends. And certainly, don't rely on yourself alone. That I'm smart enough that I could figure it out by myself. There are some who say that this phrase, Shechavercha yikaimu biyodecha, is not what you're saying, I'll rely on my friends and I'll stay here. No, this phrase is coming to tell us, why am I telling you? Hevi goyle l'makom Torah, because in a makom Torah, there, chavercha yikaimu biyodecha. According to this pshat, it's a positive. In other words, I'm advising you, go into a makom Torah. Why? Because in the makom Torah, where you'll have other friends, they will help you to review the Torah, to delve into the Torah, and that's how you will learn Torah. Chazal say, Harbe lamadati merabboi, say, I learned a lot from my teachers. V'yoser, I learned more from my chaverim. U'mitamida yoser mikulam, who I learned the most from, is from my students. Now, we said before that if Rav Nuroi is Rav Lozer ben Aruch, it would make a lot of sense how this Mishnah ties into the life of Rav Lozer ben Aruch. And what is this referring to? So this is referring, first of all, to the Mishnah that we learned earlier, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches. It says over there that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five students. And the five students were Rabbi Lazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKoyen, Rabbi Shimon ben Asanel, and Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch. And his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Rebbe of Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch, told them to go out and find what's the best thing for a person, what's the worst thing for a person. And the maskana was that what Rav Lozer ben Aruch said was the best. So the Mishnah over there says that Hu Oyo Omer, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai used to say, Im Yiyu Kol Chachmi Yisrael B'Kaf Maznayim, if all the Chachamim of the Jewish people were on a scale, Ve'Lozer ben Hyrcanus B'Kaf Shnia, and Elazar not ben Aruch, first he said on Elazar ben Hyrcanus was on the second scale, Machrias Kulam. Rav Lazar ben Hyrcanus would outweigh all the others. But Abishol, I remember Mishma, Abishol said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in you, Kol Chacham Yisrael, B'Kaf Maznayim, for Rav Lazar ben Hyrcanus, Af Imoem. Rav Lazar B'Kaf Shnia, and Rav Lazar ben Aruch was in the second scale, Machrias Kulam. So the first one said that the greatest Talmud Chacham was Rav Lazar ben Hyrcanus. The second one said that even if I put Rav Lazar ben Hyrcanus together with all the other Chachamim, and I put Rav Lazar ben Aruch on this side, Rav Lazar ben Aruch would outweigh all the rest. In other words, he was the greatest. Okay. Now, what happened to Rav Lazar ben Aruch? So the Medrash in Kehelas says this is what happened. Kishemes Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, when the Rebbe was Nifter, Halach Rav Lazar ben Aruch, Rav Lazar ben Aruch, who we just learned was equal to all the other Chachamim, including Rav Lazar ben Hyrcanus, he went Eitzel Ishtoi. He went to his wife. Lamaka Mayim Yafim Vinava Yafim. He went down to Miami, or he went to Bermuda. The Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Lamed Zayin tells us that he went to a place which was called the Yumsis. It was like a resort area, you know, like Miami, Bermuda, the Bahamas. That's where he went. It was nice, very good air, scenery. There was water, bathing, and there was wine. In other words, he had a good life. Himten l'chaveri sheyavoy etzlei. So he waited for his friends to follow him. Loi bo, they didn't come. Kiven sheloi bo, when they didn't come, bikish leilach etzlo. He wanted to go to them. But v'loi nachta ishtoi, his wife didn't let him. Unfortunately, here he didn't have a good wife. Yeah, didn't. His wife could have made the difference. Amra, she said, mi tzrich lemi, who needs who? Do they need you or do you need them? Amar Law, he said to her, Hein Shrichem Li, after all, he was equal to all the other great Talmid Chum. They need me. Amar Law, she said to him, Hapasvach Borim, you have bread and you have mice, Mi Darkel Lelechus Eitzami, who goes to who? Hevi Amri Hach Borim Eitzlapas, the mice go to the bread. So in other words, if they need you, just like the mice go to the bread, they should come to you. Shamalah, he listened to her. He didn't go to the Talmid Chachamim. The Yoshav, and he sat in that resort area, Ad Sheshachach Talmudai, until he forgot his whole Talmud. Now, to what extent did he forget his whole Talmud? So here we have a Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Rab Lazar ben Aruch Ikla Lahasim. Rab Lazar ben Aruch went to that place that we said, the Yumsis, which was a resort area. The Rashi brings down another place called Purgisa. These were the Bahamas, the Bermuda, etc. And what happened over there? Imshich Basrayu. He followed, the Rashi says, the wine and the bathing. At good swimming pools. Iyakir Talmudei. He forgot his entire learning. Ki hadar asa. Come lemikri b'safra. When one day he came back from the resort area, he went into the yeshiva, the base medrash, and they gave him an aliyah. And in those days, the person who got an aliyah used to read it himself. They didn't have a balkor, right? The person himself used to read it. Boy lemikri hachodesh hazeh lochem. It was the parsha's bow, and it was hachodesh hazeh lochem. And instead of reading hachodesh hazeh lochem, Omar, he mixed up the Dalit with a Resh, He didn't say Hachodesh, he said Hacheresh. Hoya, he didn't say Hachodesh Hazeh, he thought it was, instead of a Zion, he put a Yud in. Hacheresh Hoya, and instead of Lochem, he changed the Chaf for a base, Libam. Instead, it came out, instead of Hachodesh Hazeh Lochem, he said Hacheresh Hoya Libam. And some say that what he accidentally said, because literally he mamish forgot to read Aleph Beis. He mixed up a Zion with a Yud and a Chaf with a Beis. He forgot how to say Aleph Beis. That's this great Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, who went after the pleasures of this world, forgot, mamish, he didn't know how to read anymore. So some say that what he said accidentally, not knowing anymore how to read properly, that defined what had happened to him. Hacheresh hoya libam, his heart had become deaf to the sounds of Torah. Boy, Rabbanin Rachmei Aleya v'hadir Talmudei. The rabbis beseeched Hashem for mercy. Give back the Torah to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, and his Torah came back. V'hainu disnan. The Gemara in Shabbos says that's what we learned here in Avos in our Mishnah. Rav Nuroi, Oimer, Rav Igoyle Makam Torah, go to a place of Torah. Val Torah Shitei Recha Recha. Now it makes sense. Rav Nuroi is Rav Elazar ben Aruch, according to one opinion. So Rav Nuroi was saying, I shouldn't have listened to my wife. I should have gone away to a place of Torah. It's not going to come to me. The rabbis are not going to come. My students are not going to come. My friends are not going to come. And don't say shechaverich yikamu biyotcha, that your friends will teach it to you. Velbinascha al tishon, don't rely, you're the smartest in the whole world. Tana, we learned loy rab neroy shemoy, el rab nechemy shemoy. Va'amri lo rab Elazar ben Aruch shemoy. His name was rab Elazar ben Aruch. V'lama nikrashem rab neroy. So what does rab neroy mean? It's a nickname. Sheman here einei chachamim ba'alocha. He enlightened the eyes of the talmid chacham ba'alocha. So according to this Gemara now, and it makes sense that according to the Yalkut in the Medrash Rabban Keheles, it said he forgot. But the Gemara is telling us the chachamim prayed for him that he should get all his Torah back. He got it back, and then Rav Neroy, if we learn that it was Rav Elazar ben Aruch, he's giving everybody advice. Don't make the mistake that I did in my life, that I didn't go to a place of Torah. I relied on myself. My Talmidim will come to me. My friends will come to me. My rabbis will come to me. I'll depend on my own. I'm brilliant. I'm the smartest in the whole world. No, this is all wrong. If you're not in a place of Torah, Chas v'Shalom, you can lose everything until the point that instead of saying Achodesh Zalachem, he said Acheresh Alima. And it is told that Henry Kissinger, who used to be a religious person and someone once showed me that he wrote a Torah article for the, I think it was the Pirkei Agudas Yisrael in Germany. And I had a roommate who showed me this article written by Henry Kissinger. And in Breuer Shul in the back on the wall where they have all the soldiers who fought in the World War, they have his name, and his father, Oliver Shalom, used to sit in front of my Schwer, one row in front in Breuer Shul. But when it came, when his father died and he had to say Kaddish, he didn't know how to say Kaddish. Because, so I've been told. And it's not surprising. It could very well be true, because we see Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, who was the greatest Talmud Chacham in the whole world, but when he went after the resort areas and he went away from a life of Torah, he came to the Madrega of Hacheresh Hoya Liba. Perek Dalid, Mishnah Tezvav. Rabbi Yanai Oimer. This is the only Mishnah in the entire Shisha Sidre Mishnah that we find that Rabbi Yanai said. And he discusses a question, a famous question. In fact, there was a book written about it. Why do bad things happen to good people? So Rabbi Yanai says, Ein biyadeinu, we don't really understand, loy mishalvas harishoyim, not the peace in this world that the rishoyim, the evil doers, have. The af loy mi yisurei hatzadikim. We also don't understand why the righteous people, the good people, have yisurim, why they have suffering. In other words, why do bad things happen to good people? So, even though Rav Yaneh says we don't understand it, but actually we find in the Gemara that this question was asked, in fact, by Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, says that Moshe said to Hashem, "Hoidi'eini no estrochecha, teach me your ways." And what was troubling to Moshe? What did he need Hashem to explain to him? Omar Lefanov, he said to Hashem, "Rabbeinu Shalaylam, mivnei ma yesh tzaddik v'toivloi." Sometimes you find that tzaddik, it's good for him in this world. V'yesh tzaddik v'raloi. But there's some tzaddik where it's bad for them. Yesh rasha v'toivloi. There's some rishon where it's good for them in this world. V'yesh rasha v'raloi. And there's a rasha where it's not good for him in this world. So what was the Ribbono Shel'olam's answer to this question? So the Gemara says, tzaddik v'toivloi tzaddik gomer. A tzaddik, where it's good for him in this world, of course it's going to be good for him in the next world. But where we see everything's good for him in this world, that's a total 100% tzaddik. Someone who didn't do averus, tzaddik gomer. Tzaddik v'raloi, tzaddik she'enoi gomer. A tzaddik, where it's bad for him, things don't go well for him in this world, that's a tzaddik, but he's not 100%. He has some averus. In fact, most people fall, most tzaddikim even fall into this category. Because ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yechta. There's no tzaddik in this world who does good and doesn't sin. The Gemara says there was only 4 people in the history of the world who didn't do any averis. One of them was Binyamin, and he in fact was called Binyamin HaTzadik. Yishai, the father of David, also it says he didn't do any averis. But normally a tzaddik will have averis. So that's a tzaddik that's not a complete tzaddik. So therefore, Hashem has to reward a person for the good he does, but he has to punish the person if he did averis. So Hashem does not want to punish the tzaddik in the next world, and therefore he brings on him yisurim in this world, and therefore he gets a kapara, a forgiveness for anything he did wrong in this world, so that in Olam Habo he'll have only good. That's a tzaddik v'raloi, and Hashem explained to Moshe, it's tzaddik she'ein a gomer. Russia v'toivloi. When a Russia it's good, this is a Russia she'enoi gomer, Hashem said to Moshe. When he's not a totally bad person, he has some good things. Mostly he's bad, but some things are good. So again, Hashem doesn't want to reward him in the next world. Not only does Hashem not want to reward him, but he himself doesn't want the reward. He's Michael Olam Haba. He wants to have a yacht and a Rolls Royce in this world. He wants a jet plane in this world. I'm Michael Olam Haba. So Hashem said, good, I'm going to give you good in this world. But unfortunately, then in the world to come, he's going to suffer in the world to come. And a Russia, which is a Russia v'raloi, a Russia who's going to get punished in Olam Haba, but yet we see it's bad for him in this world also, that's a Russia gomer. A Russia who's totally a Russia, who doesn't do good at all, everything he does is evil, such a person, not only does he lose Olam Haba, but unfortunately he loses Olam Hazeh as well. Now, on the Russia v'toivloi, there's a famous marshal of the Dubner Magid. The Dubner Magid says, what is this compared to? Where Hashem pays him for his good in this world. It's a marshal to a person who sinned against the king. And he was a very trusted advisor of the king. And he rebelled. He wanted to topple the king. He wanted to take over the government. So when the king found out about it, he said, I have to punish him, and I have to show it in front of the whole kingdom how I'm going to punish this person. So what did he do? The king built a very beautiful building, glass, where everybody, you could see from all sides, you could look in. he put the person there, and he had beautiful furniture in this place. The only thing that he was missing was food and water. He had nothing to eat and drink. And the people would come to watch this person. And so the first day, people are able to fast a day, even a few days. But as time went on, and he had no food and nothing to drink, the man went hysterical. And finally, one day, he took a knife, and he was so desperate, he cut off a piece of his own flesh, and he put it on the table, and he began to eat. He was so desperate for food. At that moment, a farmer came from the village. He wants to see the king said this is going to be a terrible punishment for this person. He wants to see the terrible punishment. So he comes over, sees a beautiful building, beautiful furniture, and he sees the man, and he happened to come just as the person had cut off a piece from his leg, and he had that pulque over there and on the table in front of him. So, and he sees that the man's eating the... So the farmer says, "Boy, I wish I was punished like this. Givaldik, look what a beautiful life he's leading." And the people around him said to him, "You fool, don't you realize he's eating his own flesh? He's eating himself up." So... That's the mashal that the Duvner Magid gives to explain. Rasha v'tayvloi, we said, is a Rasha she'enoi gomer. He's not a total Rasha. He's someone who has mitzvahs, and Hashem has to pay him. But where does Hashem pay it to him? In this world. So in this world it looks, oh, he's rich, and he has a beautiful house, and cars, and yachts, and planes, and he has all the hanoah of this world. But in fact, he's the same as that man in the mashal who's eating himself up. All the schar that he would have gotten in Olam Haba, he's eating up in this world. So this is the first way to understand why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. There's another answer, which is that we don't know what is good and what is bad. What looks to us as bad in Olam Haba, when we'll see the way everything's supposed to really be, it could be what we think is bad in this world really was good. And the opposite, what looks good in this world, when it comes to Olam Haba, we'll see this world clearly. The things that we thought were good in this world were actually not good. And therefore, again, we have to assume, we know from Hashem nothing bad comes out. And therefore, if something appears bad, we have to say to ourselves, to have emunah, that it's only what it looks like it's something bad. But ultimately, even the bad thing is good for the person. As we know, Nachum Ish Gamzu said, everything gamzu l'toivah, there's nothing bad that Hashem made in the world. Everything is for good. Finally, there's a pshat here, and perhaps the reason for the pshat is because there's a little difficulty with what Rabbi Yannai said. Rabbi Yannai said, "Ein biyadeinu, loy mi shalvus rishon va'af loy mi yisurei tzedikim." We don't understand it. L'chayra, we just gave two answers. And one of the answers we find in the Gemara in Brachas that Hashem said to Moshe. So why does Rabbi Yannai say, "Ein biyadeinu"? We don't understand. Hashem gave the answer to Moshe. So because of this, many meforshim, the Medrash Shmuel says it, and the Tosfos Yontif says it, and Bartanura says it as well, it means something else completely. It doesn't have to do with why good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. It means to say, now that we are in Golus, what level are we on? So Rabbi Yannai wanted to tell us, we're like in the middle. What should we consider ourselves? Should we consider ourselves Chas v'Shalom Rishoyim? Should we consider ourselves Tzadikim? Says Rabbi Yannai, you know what you have to consider yourself? Someplace in the middle. Ein biyadeinu loy mishalvas harishoyim. We don't have the peace of the rishoyim that Hashem rewards the rishoyim and he gives them good in this world, as we explained, so that they shouldn't have olam haba. Any mitzvah that they did, they should get rewarded in this world. We're not on that level. But on the other hand, we're not on the other level. What's the other level? The yisurim of tzaddikim. The Gemara says that what is the right way for a person to approach Yisurim? When it's ein bohem mishum bitul Torah, if a person, that's called yisurim shel ava. Hashem gives a person yisurim. He suffers, but he doesn't make the person suffer to that extent that it stops him from learning or doing mitzvahs. He'll have suffering, but he'll still be able to learn and do mitzvahs. There is some suffering that a person can have where he becomes so sick, let's say, and so immobile that he can't do Torah mitzvahs. A person chastron becomes senile, Alzheimer's, things like that. He can't do Torah mitzvahs. That's not Yisurim Shalava. Yisurim Shalava that Hashem gives a person in this world is that you could learn Torah, you could still do mitzvahs, but you have Yisurim. That's called Yisurim of Ava. So we have to know we shouldn't give up hope that we're like Rishoyim Chas V'Shalom. On the other hand, we shouldn't think we're like big tzaddikim and we don't have to correct anything. We're in the middle. Don't give up hope because you're not a Russia. Don't think you have nothing to do because you're not a tzaddik. You're in the middle. That's what it means. Ein b'yadeinu, what do we have in our hands? Not the Shalvus of Rishoyim and not the Yisurim of Tzaddikim. That's how these Mefarshim explain what Rabbi Yonah is saying. In the same Mishnah, we have another Tana. His name is Rav Masya ben Chorosh. It's very interesting. The Gemara tells us that the Rav Masya ben Chorosh left Eretz Yisrael and he went to build a yeshiva in Rome. He established, there were certain Tanoim who left Eretz Yisrael and they built Torah in Chutz Lartz. One of them was Rav Masya ben Chorosh. What does he say? Have imagdim b'shloim kol adam. Always greet every other person first. You, even someone, you'll say, oh, that person's lower than me. You'll have a young child. So who should really say good morning to the other? The child should say to the grown-up. That's derech eretz. But unfortunately, this child doesn't have that proper derech eretz. So the older person shouldn't say, it's not becoming to me that I shouldn't say hello to that person. No, you be having magdim b'shloim kol adam. The Gemara tells us in Brachas of Yud Zayin that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lo higdimoy adam shalom me oilam va'afilu nachri b'shuk. That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, any person that he met, even if he met a goy, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would be the first one to give shalom to the other. It's very interesting. Rabbi Wein speaks about this Indian of greeting another person. I'm going to quote what he says. To greet people in a friendly manner is more than just good social manners. It reflects an optimistic and friendly view of life. The Torah unalterably opposes sadness and melancholy as a psychological state of being. Accustoming oneself to greeting people, even strangers, and not only Jews, is a method of developing this positive psychological attitude toward life and its inherent challenges. I am continually shocked by the experience of wishing someone a good Shabbos and receiving no response. Sometimes I am rewarded with a blank stare, like a what's your problem stare. But many times the person just walks by me as though I didn't exist, and my greeting was never extended. Not only is this rude, it flies in the face of what Torah behavior should be. Rav Masya urges Jews to be the initiators of greetings and courtesy. He wanted us not to stand on ceremony, not to feel that others were obligated somehow to greet us first before we responded in kind. But he certainly never imagined that there would be those who would completely ignore greetings of others when extended. A cheerful good morning greeting is beneficial to both the giver and the recipient. So in other words, Rav Masya ben Chorosh never imagined that I would greet you and get back a blank stare. He said, you're both going to give shalom. The question, who should give first? You be the one to give first. But when you give first, the other one's not going to answer that. Rav Masya never even thought of. Unfortunately, we have many people do that, and of course, we have to train ourselves not to do that. And finally, Rav Masya ben Chorosh says, V'havizonov la'arayis v'alti roish l'shualim. You should be a tail to lions, and you should not, rather than be the head of foxes. What does this mean? So the simple pshat is, it's better to be mechaber yourself, attach yourself to greater people than you, to be the smallest, rather than to be the head of the small ones. You'll be the head one, but the people under you will be much lower than you, because you have more to gain by being the tail of the lions. According to the Meiri, this refers to a person learning Torah. It's better to be a Talmud of great rabbis than to be a rabbi of young Talmidim. It's better to be a Talmud, you'll gain more from the great rabbis. And finally, the Tosfos Yontif says a pshat that there's two ways that a person can proceed in life and achieve. He can be a lion. He might be a tail of a lion, but he'll be a lion. Or that's the gvura of an ari, the strength of a lion. Or he could be tricky like a fox. He might get the same way. If he's tricky like a fox, he might even get ahead of the person who's like a lion. But in truth, the one that has real value is the strength of a lion. And not so. We're telling a person, lower yourself to attach yourself and to be mishamesh, to serve tamidi chachamim, to learn from them, and eventually you'll be a total lion, and who will conquer everything around them with his strength, and you won't need the trickery of the fox. Okay, that's the pshat of the Tosfos Yontif. And we move on to the next Mishnah.